Joining us is Mr. Bob Mackey from Aircraft Insurance.
Hey, how are you doing this morning?
Very, very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. First day of my 38th year.
There you go.
You're a veteran then.
Yeah.
Wow.
Slept on the ground in 1971.
Oh, I feel for you, man.
Not anymore.
You know, yeah, I was going to say, you don't sleep on the ground now.
No.
You've graduated to a trailer hotel pop-up.
I live in Oshkosh. I get to sleep in my own bed.
Nice.
Oh, that's
nice.
Great.
Just couldn't stay away.
Yeah.
Wow.
So right. we could call you a local.
Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Okay.
Then there's no excuse to be here on time. Oh, wait, no. He was on time. All right, let's talk about aircraft insurance.
Yeah, we do a program called Aircraft Insurance Solutions by Falcon Insurance Agency. We're the official agency for the program, and our whole objective is to make sure to try to find the right insurance with the best price for the member. And what's right for one member may not be right for the next. You know, it depends on the pilot, what they're flying, what kind of flying they do. So we got to kind of put the jigsaw puzzle pieces together.
So you cover low-time pilots, high-time pilots, any pilot?
Yep. Yeah, from students all the way up to airline pilots.
And you're covering them regardless of what activities they may be doing.
Yep. And if some of them are using airplanes for transition training under the new LOA that the FAA's got out there, so they can do transition training in a home built, or so they're flying powered parachutes or flying trikes or flying, you know, whatever. You know, we're a broker, so we use all of the insurance companies that are out there that work with brokers. And you have to find the pieces and kind of piece it together, because some companies have, you know, like a niche that they don't want to do or they do want to do. You know, some will do seaplanes, some won't do them, and some will do vintage, and some won't do them. So you kind of piece it together. And when you haven't got a company for something, then you got to go out there and really kind of twist the company's arm. You know, we didn't have anybody doing powered parachutes and trikes for a long, long time. So we got together with them, and actually we used Oshkosh as a place, you know, that's an incubator. You get the underwriters here, you get them out there, get them in the aircraft, get them flying. Let them find out what it's all about, and then they walk away with it. Yeah, we can insure these. So then we've got the product. That's the key.
Especially a powered parachute. Hey, the parachute's already out if the engine quits.
Yeah, you got that. Land. That's it.
Yep. And it's interesting because one of the underwriters we got in one time, next thing you know, he went out and bought one. So
there you go.
So it works. Just last week, I used to spend a lot of time down at Paul and Audrey's place because I've known him for so many years, and Paul's always building something. Mm-hmm. His last project was a baby ace he's working on, and a couple of guys over in Wausau were coming over and working with him on it, and unfortunately we lost Paul. Paul passed away a year ago, and that project was unfinished. Now Audrey ended up selling it to three gentlemen from Wausau. So they called me the other day. They finished it up, and they were going to bring it to Oshkosh, and the fact it's here. So they called up and said, hey, we got it all done, and a lot of times they wait to the last minute for the insurance, so called up and got it all lined up, and that was in the middle of the afternoon, and they flew it that night for the first flight and got it all done.
Wow, and they flew it with insurance.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great.
Yeah, we used to be insurance companies wouldn't do first flights, or if they did first flights, they just do liability, no physical damage on the aircraft, and people spend years building these airplanes, and then, you know, they got to put it all on the line with no insurance. Nowadays, we've got several companies that'll do full coverage for first flight all through the phase one, so.
And that's for recognized designs. What about one-offs?
One-offs too. What we got to do in a one-off situation is you got to get a comparison. You know, if it's like an Acrosport or if it's like a Baby Ace or something, you show the underwriters what it's similar to. Because a lot of this, you know, even the one-off designs, you see people have taken some other designs and kind of developed and morphed their own design out of it. So we just use the examples and show the underwriters what they've been flying, and we can get it done.
So what kind of insurance are we talking about here? We're talking about hull insurance, liability. What about life insurance? Is that part of it too?
Yeah, we do that also. We do the aircraft insurance for the liability and physical damage. We do what I call an accidental death insurance program. A lot of times guys and gals will both have like a regular term life insurance policy, and they'll have no coverage for an aviation activity. They bought their policy when they were 29, 30 years old, young, and you know, starting a family and everything else. Now they're 45, built an airplane or bought an airplane. They contact their insurance agent and say, well, I need to change my life insurance. What they'll end up doing is they call it re-underwriting. So the original price that they were paying per year for their insurance or per month or whatever was based on a 25-year-old person. Now that 40, another 45. So that base price just jumped up, may have doubled. And that's without aviation. So then you want the aviation coverage on top of it, and you want to include experimental aviation that could triple, quadruple the premium. So what we did was we came up with a product called accidental death insurance using Star companies. And that policy, you don't have to disturb your term life policy. You still got the aviation exclusion, but the aviation accidental death insurance, it includes non-aviation as well. it can, you know, buy up to $250,000, and that'll supplement or fill that gap. So you don't have to disturb the term life and pay more money. You get the term life program, like the $250,000 is like $500 a year. And there's no age limit. It goes up to age 71, but it doesn't make any difference whether you're 25 or you're 70, you're going to pay the same price. It doesn't make any difference whether you're a student pilot or an airline pilot, you're going to pay the same price. It's easy to tell you what it can include. Any aircraft, it's got an airworthiness certificate. You know, it's experimental, light sport, standard, all of them. They're all covered. And the trikes and powered parachutes, helicopters and sailplanes, everything, seaplanes.
Part 103 ultralights as well?
Does not include 103s because they don't have an airworthiness certificate.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Yep, that's the ones that they don't cover.
Okay.
But it'll include aerobatics for giggles and grins. It'll include aerobatics at IEC contests. And the only thing it won't include is aerobatics for a paid performer. So
in other words, if you're an air show pilot, this will not help you out any.
No, that's right.
But if you just want to go out.
Wait, does it would help him out, like if he's ferrying his aircraft.
Oh, yeah.
It's only during performances.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, there's some activities that it excludes, like, you know, crop dusting, banner towing, air show for hire, that sort of stuff, which, again, the normal EA member is not doing those things.
Right.
So we geared it toward what does an EA member do?
Basically just go
fly. $100 hamburger.
Yeah, and do upside down while you're there.
Exactly.
There you go.
You know, a lot of the EAA members like to roll an airplane over just for the fun of it.
Yep, and it's, you know, that's why I call it aerobatics for giggles and grins.
Yeah, yeah. We do
hangar insurance, airport insurance, and all the other stuff as well. So, you know, it's,
yeah, the physical damage, hull damage and all that, would that cover, say, the airplane's in the hangar and the hangar gets flooded?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called all risk. If you buy all risk, it's in motion, not in motion. So if somebody breaks in your hangar or vandalizes it, or hangar burns down because it got hit by lightning or something like that, or you fly to another airport, you tie it down in a designated spot to get that $50 hamburger, and somebody else taxis into it and hits it, you know, or you do. Insurance covers stupid things too. I mean, you run out of gas and you put it in a field and you roll it up in a ball, it's going to cover it. So it's not. There's no stupid exclusion.
That's good.
That's good, because I know some friends of mine, a buddy of mine that I've known for 20 years, had a hangar collapse because of all the snow we had out east this year. He had an Aranca Champ. It's now about a foot and a half tall. It was a complete write-off.
Oh, that's sad. That's sad.
That hurts.
That did hurt. Yeah. He was very upset about that. But the good news is he's hoping to get another airplane here soon.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people, they think insurance companies are out to not pay claims. And with a little example of that, you know, what was it, 3 years, 4 years ago, Venison and Fun?
Yeah.
Not a pretty picture.
Yeah.
Well, when that happened, we were down there, and it's like, you know, I walked outside and saw airplanes on top of airplanes and said, this is not good. So I got on the phone, called all the insurance companies we use, said, you know, here's what's happened. I'm sure you got claims. One of the main companies we use a lot, Global Aerospace, contacted them first. They're out of Kansas City. That's where their claims office would handle general aviation was out of. They had five sets of boots on the ground by 5 o'clock that day.
Wow.
24 hours, they settled all of their claims except one, and they had 25 claims.
Wow.
But they settled all of them except one, and they set it up so that people were sitting there saying, oh, I want to save my, I want to rebuild my RV, you know, I want to rebuild my airplane and take it home. So they said, okay, well, your policy is a $50,000 physical damage or 60 or whatever they had it insured for. Write you a check for that right now, and then they take the salvage. Or if you want to keep the salvage, well, what do you think, $5,000 fair for your airplane? And of course, these home builders are like, yeah, I'll take that. That's great. So they settled a claim for $5,000 less. The insurance company had a company sitting there with trucks and trailers. Said, okay, go over and talk to that guy. Go over and talk to him. He said, well, for $1,000, I'll have it home for you. A lot of airplanes got home before the pilots got home.
Wow.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice when, you know, the insurance companies really like to pay claims. You know,
unusual. This is very much unlike the automotive industry, which you know, you're trying to pull teeth there to get claims paid.
Yeah, the underwriters, the insurance companies want to pay claims quickly and efficiently because they don't want them to drag them out, and they like it when they're clean cut, you know, and a weather loss is clean cut, so.
Yeah, exactly.
And we all remember the photographs from Sun and Fun. It was awful.
Yep. But a lot of people, in fact, a little other story about there's two EAA members that came from Mexico. They flew a Pelican from Mexico. They got there about 20 minutes before the storm hit, rolled their airplane up in a ball. They didn't get it tied down adequately in the short amount of time they had. So they came over to Sonnenfund and asked them if they could get a letter, because they can't take a damaged airplane back into Mexico. It's against the law.
Huh.
So they went to, and Sonnenfund referred them to EAA, and EAA brought them over to me. So they just needed somebody to write a letter on stationery and said this airplane was damaged in a windstorm. It wasn't damaged in an aircraft accident. Then they could take it back, and they'll throw it on a U-Haul and take it home. So I called one of the adjusters from Global, and I said, hey, these guys need some kind of documentation. Should I just do a letter? And they said, no, let us take care of it for you. So the guy was saying, what kind of airplane is this? It's a Pelican. He goes, I don't know what a Pelican is. I said, well, I'm looking at a picture of it on a cell phone. It's white. It's got black letters on it. It's got the XP, you know, the Mexican prefix for the numbers. And the claims adjuster said, wait a minute, I'm standing right next to it. So he sent him over there. The adjuster wrote a 20-some-odd page document, photographs, serial numbers, and everything, and gave him a book and said, here, now you can go back to Mexico for nothing.
Wow.
Nice.
And nothing. Just send them on their way, because they're EA members.
That's cool. And we can. Do you guys have a website we can find out more about this?
Yeah, the best place to go is to EAA's website, www.eaa.org/insurance. And that's where all the stuff is about insurance.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you for letting me come over.
Aaron Dave. This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.